FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome, and you are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. It's 8818. Make of that what you like. Hey, as always, we invite you to be part of the show, and that means send us an email. If it's good enough, we'll read it on the show, or we'll even have you on the show to talk about it. The email address, again, is kl@kerrylutz.com. Well, what's going on here with politics? Republicans pull out a squeaker in Ohio. Is the FISA warrant scandal ready to really blow up and go mainstream? And what about Inspector Clouseau? I mean, Director Mueller. What's happening there? Well, our good friend is with us now, former Congressman John LeBoutelier. John, welcome back.
Hello, Kerry. 8818. That's worrisome sounding.
Yeah, well, you know, in Chinese, 8 is a lucky number. And you will always see 8s in casinos that cater to the Chinese clientele rather than 4, which happens to be my personal favorite number, but in Chinese means death. So make of that what you'd like. So, hey, look, the elections yesterday, last night, the Republicans pull out a squeaker in Ohio's CD-12. And what do you make of it?
Well, it's better to win than to lose, obviously. It shouldn't have been a squeaker. That was a district that Pat T. Berry had won by 36 points a year and a half ago. Trump won it by 11, Romney by 10. It's been a Republican seat for 40 straight years. So the fact that it was a squeaker is a little worrisome. And I think it's the same reason it was a squeaker that we've seen in other specials in 2017 and 2018, that there is an uptick in Democratic turnout in these races through anti-Trumpism. You know, they're agitated. They don't like Trump. It's the normal reaction.
Are you sure about that?
Administration.
They don't like Trump.
Yeah.
Are you sure about that?
Yeah, they don't like him.
What makes you think
they don't like him? And I think the thing with Trump is he's a double-edged sword in a way. He is really good at motivating his base. And when he tweets in favor of someone for a Republican primary, we know they win that primary. Mm. But he also jazzes up the Democratic base. And in Franklin County, the slice of it that was in that Ohio 12th district yesterday, that is Democratic and suburban and all, they came out in droves against the Republican candidate. That's the negative Trump effect. Like I say, he's a double-edged sword. And he's a sharp double-edged sword. Both edges are very sharp, and it's too bad, but it's what he does well. So we're going to see the effect on that coming up in November, where we're not in primaries. We're in regular general election mode. And the special elections are different. Yes. They put $3 million bucks into the Republican race in Ohio, and they barely held it. They won't be putting $3 million in every House race in November.
True. Totally agree with you. But, you know, the Democratic base was jazzed. They were out to teach Trump a lesson. It didn't work. So demoralization is going to set in here. And, well, we'll see what happens in the midterms. I mean, it's anybody's guess. But my guess is that certainly the Senate will hold. I can't say that we don't know the same for the House, but certainly the Senate's going to hold, and they stand a chance of picking up some seats in the Senate as well. So, I mean, if you look at those states that Trump carried during 16, and then you go back and you look at what's in play, like states like North Dakota, states like Florida, it looks like Rick Scott is pretty close to being a shoo-in in Florida. He's off to like a major head start over Nelson. I mean, Nelson didn't even know what hit him when Scott was spent $12 million on ads, and I don't think he's got a shot. And then you've got maybe Joe Manchin will hold on. I know. What are your thoughts there?
Well, I agree with you about Rick Scott. I think they will win Florida, but I think the Democrats who need a net 2 pickup to win the Senate. It's now 51 Republican, 49 Democrat. They need to win a net gain of 2. And there are several that they're going to win.
Sure.
I think they're favored to win Arizona and, believe it or not, Nevada. And they have a real shot in Tennessee. We are going to take over, I totally agree with you, Florida. And I think we got a good shot in Indiana.
Yeah.
So in that case, at worst, it would be a 50-50 Senate. In which case, the Republicans, because of the vice president control on organization.
Yeah.
So, you know, we'll see. I mean, you never really know. I do think that the Democrats are 70% likely to win the House of Representatives. I think that's likely. Huh? And I mean, that's normal and historical. We don't know how many seats they're going to win. There are little indicators that came up even last night that out in Seattle, outside Seattle, Kathy McMorris Rogers, the fourth highest ranking Republican, barely hung on in her jungle primary.
Yeah.
And that's the same district that Speaker Tom Foley had and lost in the wave of 94. And no one saw that coming. And no one talked about this woman being in any trouble going into last night. And she barely hung on in the thing. So it's a funny year. Incumbents are not popular. We have 41 Republicans have retired or left the House.
Right.
I think there's a good chance that Democrats, through nothing to do with themselves, it's anti-Trumpism jacking up that side of the aisle to vote more. I think it's likely they win the House.
Yeah, I think they got a shot at it for sure. But on the other hand, they've been doing everything they can to defeat themselves. Their policies are completely out of step with the American public. And their heroine of the day, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, all five of the candidates she was backing for the Democratic Socialist Party failed. So her star did shine brightly, but it probably has shined very briefly. And she'll become a footnote. She'll probably get elected in her district in New York. But as far as the influence that this person is going to have in the party and in the country, probably not much.
Well, but see, that's actually good news for the Democrats. They don't want, and they were headed towards being a socialist party. And the fact that that didn't happen last night is, in the long run, good for them. They want to be the Democratic Leadership Conference of Bill Clinton. They want to be moderate Democrats who can appeal in Midwestern and suburban districts, not the whacked out, you know, Bernie Sanders cult. So the fact that they rejected that in all these primaries, and the guy Al Sayed lost the gubernatorial primary in Michigan, that in the long run is good for them, that they have resisted the left and stayed somewhat moderate.
Yeah, well, this remains to be seen here. It's a party that's got a lot of troubles. When you're, when the leader,
They're a dead party. Troubles. That party died when they passed Obamacare, and they lost the House, the Senate, state houses, governorships. The party is non-existent. But anti-Trumpism this year will revive enough of the Democrats, I think, to win the House. Then they'll flounder around and they'll screw it up. They screw everything up they do. That's not an issue. But
yeah,
you know, but the party is a functioning major party. I think it's dead.
Yeah, well, it stands for nothing. And really, it's anti-American, pro-Antifa, all of these things. Bad news. Hey, just two other races, I think, that bear watching that are probably going to go Republican. Claire McCaskill, definitely behind the 8 ball. And Tester probably squeezes by, but you never know about Montana. And like I said before, Heidi Heitkamp, really behind the 8 ball. Probably not going to make it in an oil boom state like North Dakota She barely squeaked by during the wave of Obama's reelection, and I'd be surprised if she makes it, but we will see what happens. Hey, so what about these GDP numbers? Did you think when Trump took the oath that the economy was going to recover as rapidly as it has?
I probably didn't think it would happen as rapidly. I thought it would do better. I thought we finally have elected a pro-business House, Senate, and president. I haven't really had one that's that pro-business for a long time, and it was going to be good, and it has been good. It is one quarter of GDP growth. Let's see more than one quarter, but the thing's going in the right direction, no question.
For sure. I mean, if you look, 4.1, Obama did that once in 2014, but massive deficit spending, massive.
Well, we're doing that, too. The deficit this fiscal year is going to be $1 trillion. National debt's up to $22 trillion. There's been no, and not a drop of fiscal restraint mentioned by the Republicans in the House, the Senate, or Trump. It's a complete joke. It's a rerun of what the Republicans in the 2000s under Bush and a Republican House and Senate did. They talk fiscal restraint to get elected, and Kerry, they don't do it.
No, they never have. They never will. It's just opposite sides of the same coin.
Well, someone's going to have to do it.
The market will impose its discipline at some point. I don't know when, but it's going to have to happen.
It better get onto it. The actuarial announcement last month that in 2026, Medicare will be broke ought to scare the hell out of this country.
Yeah.
I mean, that's unbelievable.
Oh, hey, I've been harping on that topic for many, many years. But the tax cut appears to be pretty much paying for itself at this point. Tax collections never been higher, even corporate tax collections, where they are the greatest beneficiaries, large corporations, of the tax cut, the repatriations, et cetera. We'll see if that's more than just a one-year trend. But obviously, we can't grow our way out of this deficit. But at least structural unemployment is going down. So that bodes better for future deficits, perhaps. All depends upon when the next recession is, right?
Well, hopefully not anytime soon. Now, you hear these economists say that we're due for one. We haven't had one for 9 years, which is longest post-war non-recession period we've had. Mm-hmm. But there are no signs of it coming. The one thing I think we you don't hear much talk about, but we got to worry about as a country, is inflation.
Yes.
That the various factors, including the tariffs, could kick off a round of inflation. The Fed's worried about it, why they're raising interest rates, talking about more of them. And that's the killer of all. We don't want that.
That's
obviously
baked in the cake here. I mean, if you're going to get higher wages, which we're starting to get, it's coming on slowly. But as the pool of qualified workers runs out, and a lot of those people, a lot of you who went on disability and weren't really disabled, as you come back into the workforce, this is going to drive up wages, John. And yeah, the tariffs always are going to be inflationary by nature. The only thing we can hope is the next generation of technology is going to rapidly increase productivity even more than the last. And that might give us some reprieve, because we can't expect to export our inflation to China anymore and import their deflation. I think that what you're saying is that's all kind of coming to an end, isn't it?
It sure sounds like it. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So I wanted to just cover one thing. We're going to talk about Mueller and the congressional investigation, but banning of Alex Jones from numerous platforms on social media. Okay. You don't have to love the guy. I mean, I have my issues. He's not one of my favorite people, but the idea of banning him, of shutting his voice down, that's a bad thing, isn't it?
It's a bad precedent, because would they do it if he were a left-wing whack job? He is a total wacko. But, you know, it doesn't say in the Constitution the right for free speech for non-wackos. That doesn't mention if you're a wacko or not. And there have always been wackos in our history. And who's to decide who's a wacko? I think he's a wacko. You think he's a wacko, but there are others who love him.
I don't want to say he's a wacko.
Let his ideas sink or swim on the basis of their validity. And if he can make money and have an audience, then let him do it. That's a dangerous precedent to set.
And these platforms who are supposedly neutral and therefore immunized from all slander libel laws are the ones doing it. And they did this in concert. I find it hard to believe he's banned from four or five platforms all in the same day without them conspiring
to
do this.
They must have all been communicating about the thing.
Yeah, and you know, they could just as easily pick you or me, and we're much weaker targets. Another guy who's a friend of mine who... he got knocked off YouTube. He had 250,000 subscribers, John. And yeah, he's a conspiracy guy. I won't deny that, but he's a good person. His heart's in the right place. And they just decided that no mas, we're not putting up with this guy anymore. And you know, this is really awful. And something has to be done about it, because it's no longer the public squares or the hot seat of political activity and discourse in America. The center, the epicenter of political discourse is the internet. So you can't be allowing the likes of Google, Facebook, Twitter, and the rest of them, Amazon as well, to be gatekeepers to decide who shall have a voice and who shall not, because they could have, instead of taking on Alex Jones, they could have knocked out 20,000 of us in one day, you, me, everyone they don't like. And what would we do?
By the way, they still might. I wouldn't talk about this as if it's impossible to happen.
Oh, it's very possible.
I rule out nothing.
Hey, you're dealing with Google. You're dealing with Mark Zuckerberg. And I don't trust my fate to him. And you shouldn't either.
Correct. Now, I will say that Alex Jones, well, anyway, we've already said it. I mean, I find the guy, the thing about the Newtown shooting and those kids and all, I mean, it's just over the top, but you have a right to be over the top and let the market decide.
Yeah.
People don't want to hear it. They won't listen to it.
Exactly. And let the courts decide if he committed libel, then he needs to pay for it. And if he didn't, then he's got a right to speak. And nobody out there, no social media company has a right to tell him to shut up. And that's what they've effectively done here. John, it's really alarming, and you and I could easily be the next targets. Not that I think I'm that important, and you're probably more important than I am in the scheme of things, but look, you know what they're like, you know what they do, and they don't want free, open dialogue. They want the liberal meme to carry everything.
Exactly.
So we have to be vigilant about this. And this is an area where maybe Trump can help with this as well, perhaps, huh?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know what if we're going to put on. We're going to start regulating Facebook and these people now to tell them what they can and cannot do. That's a whole new can of worms that we're.
Oh well,
it's coming, I guess.
Hey, listen,
but, you know, we're not there yet.
But John, to me, it's the same thing as if you pick up your cell phone. Your Verizon cell phone, I assume you have that, or AT&T, whatever. You have a decent connection usually, so I assume it's Verizon, because that's what I have. If Verizon says, you know, John, we really don't like what you're saying anymore on our telephone lines, and we're not going to say you can't have the phone. You can still have 911 service, but we're just going to block your calls going out and block your calls coming in, because we just don't like what you're doing. It's the same damn thing here. I'd like somebody to explain to me how it
is. The only difference is, I think, is the phone companies are regulated by the Federal Communication Commission.
Because they're...
I think they're all regulated.
Common carriers.
I know they are.
They're common carriers.
Social media platforms, I don't think there's any regulation.
No, there. Well,
that they had these hearings. They're trying to figure it out up on Capitol Hill, and I think we're headed towards regulation.
Well, there's
Congress eventually is going to do it, but it's why these elections count. The Democrats win, they'll probably try to regulate them.
They have to be regulated, but regulated the same way railroads were and interstate transportation. The railroad couldn't say, you know, John, you're Republican. We only take Republicans alternate days of the week. It's Tuesday. Your day's Wednesday. Come back tomorrow. Common carriers. Same thing with FedEx. FedEx can't say, you know, we're just going to take liberal deliveries from now on. All you conservatives, forget it. It's the same thing because they're common carriers of public opinion, and they need to be treated as such. And they've been granted exemptions from the libel laws on the premise that they're neutral marketplaces of ideas. Nothing could be further from the truth. Hey, quickly, Mueller, Inspector Clouseau, what is he doing? Is he going to be able to do anything? And why should we care?
Well, we should care if laws are broken. We as American citizens should care about it. Now, where he's at since the last time I was on your show is the indictment three Fridays ago before the Helsinki summit of 12 GRU agents. If you read that, and I urge everyone to go online and read the thing, it's 29 pages long, and the level of penetration by our government into the Russian GRU, the military intelligence, to see what they were doing, it's listed in there by the minute what each GRU officer did during the 2016 campaign, what days they did it, how they paid for it with Bitcoin, how they bought a server in, I forget where it was, somewhere in Asia, I mean, Malaysia. It's unbelievable stuff they know and what the Russians did. The final straw in this case is going to be, were any Americans working with the Russians? Mueller has shown, and in effect, in Helsinki, Putin admitted to Jeff Mason of UPI, I favored Trump. He said it. I wanted Trump to win.
Yeah.
That's fine. He wanted to win, and he had his agents messing around in the election. The big issue is, was anybody over here helping him, working with him, encouraging it, accepting it, guiding them? And that's where you get Roger Stone clearly being looked at. That's why Manafort is being looked at beyond his current troubles. And they were looking at Trump, Trump Jr., and Kushner, all of them. And that is why Trump himself Sunday did a 180 about the Trump Tower meeting after having denied all of it, said, oh, it's about adoptions. Suddenly, out of nowhere, at 8 o'clock Sunday morning, Trump tweets out, the meeting was with Russians to gather dirt on my opponent. Nothing wrong with it. Everybody does. It's no big deal. Well, it's a big deal. It's a big deal. And he's been panicked into doing a 180, as has his lawyer, Jay Sekulow. He did a 180 on it.
So you think this is all going to amount to something?
I do. And I wouldn't be surprised if Mueller tries to get this case basically wrapped up and announced before the midterm election so that the public can have it and decide themselves. What do you want to do with it? You want to let it go, or you want to have a Congress look at it? It's up to the public. We had one election, 2016, where we did not know that Trump was under investigation. Now we do know that he's under investigation, and we have a right to know, did anything really go on or not? If not, let's get rid of it and move on.
All right. Well, my guess is it's going to be a bunch of nothing. I think the what's happening in Congress right now with the investigation, and perhaps there's a quasi special prosecutor lurking from someplace behind there. My gut feel is this is far worse. They use the levers of government, the levers of the intelligence agency to try to keep this guy out. And that is, to call it un-American is to put it very, very charitably. And I'm just, you know, it's rather shocking that that this type of thing can go on here, John. I mean, really, you know.
Well, I don't. By the way, I don't think there's any evidence that anybody did anything to try to stop Trump from winning that election. If they had wanted to stop Trump, Kerry, All they had to do was leak out that Trump was under FBI investigation. He probably doesn't win that campaign. Mm-hmm. Hillary was under investigation. The reopening of it with 11 days to go was the turning point in that race. That killed her. She was ahead in every poll then. That thing happened on the second to last Friday, and she lost on average a point a day after that.
Mm-hmm.
If the FBI had favored Trump to lose, if they wanted Trump to lose, I think they actually wanted him to win. Most FBI agents like Trump. If they wanted him to lose, which is what everyone's now saying, they would have just leaked it out, and it would have changed the whole race.
It never leaked out until
Comey in March of 2017 revealed it in a House hearing. No one knew that he was under investigation.
Though, one thing, though, is that they lied on the FISA application. The Steele dossier, which is the basis, by all appearances, of the FISA warrant against Carter Page, who had been an FBI asset during the year in which they then claimed that he was a Russian spy. They lied on that. The dossier was paid for by Hillary. McCain was in on this. Nellie Orr, who was the wife of high-level DOJ assistant, Attorney General for National Security, was on Fusion GPS's take, right? She was on their payroll. All of these things here, John, I mean, this is like outrageous here. So whether they tried to stop them or whether they were the gang that couldn't shoot straight, it certainly appears that they were out to get them. And by some screw up, they weren't able to. So I think there's a lot more there that meets the eye than the whole so-called Trump scandal. But we're going to have to see what happens. The true story on both counts has not come out yet. But the idea that Putin put Trump into the presidency is kind of absurd on its face. And I just think it's just playing to the wacko left progressive base. But where there's smoke, there could be fire. We'll see what happens. John, where do we find you these
days? To be continued.
Yes.
At johnlaboute.com.
johnlaboute.com. We've always got a link to your site in the show notes. This interview on Financial Survival Network. Don't forget, Twitter feed at Kerry Lutz. And the Facebook page is Financial Survival Network. If you're watching, listening on YouTube, hit the subscribe button, hit the notification button. They seem to be shadow banning me a little bit there as well. But I don't know what makes the YouTube algorithms tick. iTunes, go to the iTunes store, type in Kerry Lutz or Financial Survival Network, click subscribe, keep clicking it until it says you're subscribed. I have no idea how many times you have to do it. It's very awkward and cumbersome, but just do it. John, we'll talk to you in another month or so. And
all right,
keep
Kerry.
The faith.
Thank you. Okay, bye-bye.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.